Chapter 16. Analyzing History Through Speech. Memorizing names, dates, and places connected to major events, that might be your image of how you study history. And perhaps that is what most people do. But isn't it dull to spend time memorizing such facts when they can be found easily in books? Therefore, let me suggest another way of learning history, by analyzing speeches of people in the past. This approach can be interesting, as I learned at graduate schools at the University of Kansas and Northwestern University. American people recognize the power of speech, or its ability both to influence people's actions and to shape public opinion at critical moments in history. They know well such phrases as Patrick Henry's, "Give me liberty or give me death," Abraham Lincoln's, "Government of the people, by the people, for the people," and Martin Luther King Jr.'s, "I have a dream." While at the graduate schools, I studied American history from a rhetorical perspective, one that focuses on the way messages are used to affect people's actions and beliefs. Courses like this are called American Public Address, or Rhetorical History of the United States. I think the latter is a more accurate title, since American Public Address implies that we study speeches made exclusively by influential people, particularly politicians, when in fact minorities, women, and even slaves have given important speeches in the history of the United States, to say nothing of their involvement in the anti-slavery, women's suffrage, and civil rights movements. Those who have not been given a chance to speak in the public forum, or have not had their voices recorded in official history, have influenced society in a significant way. I see three advantages in studying history from a rhetorical perspective. First, by looking at important speeches from the past, we can learn about significant events in history and the part that persuasion played in them. Opinions over social issues are usually divided, and public figures play an important role in persuading people to reach a consensus. For instance, when the American Revolution was advocated, only about one-third of Americans supported it. Most wanted to retain cultural ties with Britain. To win the majority's support, the business leaders and lawyers who stood to gain the most from independence launched fiercely rhetorical appeals with the help of the media. Another illustration of the swaying of public opinion was when supporters of the U.S. federal government labeled themselves Federalists and their opponents Anti-Federalists. By applying a negative connotation to those who did not support the government, the Federalists successfully attached a positive connotation to themselves. Second, the study of speeches by historical figures enables us to sense the prevailing worldview and values of earlier times. What kind of appeals were thought to be persuasive? What people prized? And what they simply assumed. In general, rhetoric can be viewed as an index to culture. When the Great Depression hit the United States in the 1930s, President Franklin D. Roosevelt invented the political slogan New Deal to justify his new, rather socialist, policies. When John F. Kennedy was running for the presidency in 1960, he employed the catchy phrase New Frontier as a challenge to the incumbent administration, which he thought was not fully utilizing American talents and industry. Finally, studying historical speeches teaches us to think rhetorically. We begin to view situations as problems in persuasion. Persuasion, rather than force, has been the normal means of social influence in U.S. history. People always have a choice of both what to speak and how to speak, including the option of not speaking at all. In the preface to American Voices, Significant Speeches in American History, 1640 to 1945, James Andrews of Indiana University and David Zarefsky of Northwestern University wrote, "If truth were self-evident, Cicero observed, eloquence would not be necessary. Since truth is not always evident, and in a society where people are considered the final judges, persuasive efforts to shape perceptions of the truth will always have a profound influence on decision-making and action."